Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul and Jordana and DJ2, Dave Josephson, our producer today. A lot of stuff going on. The governor, of course, addressing the state at 6 o'clock this evening.
You know, my kids are, the governor usually talks at 2, and sometimes we listen to it together with the kids because they want to know what's going on. And they said to me, okay, Mom, they were ready to, you know, listen to together at 2 o'clock. And I said, guys, it's at 6 o'clock. They're like, okay, what's happening? They knew something big was going on. Well, and they're like, we heard he might extend it. How long do you think? What's happening? Is it going to open up? Can I see my friends? And they have all these questions. And I feel for them, Paul, you know, because they're kids. And they have anxiety about this, but they know something big is happening with the governor.
We're sort of great big kids, and we have anxiety too, right?
We do. Yes, we do.
And maybe the governor is reacting to some new model data. I'm skeptical of all models, having been burned by models for the better part of 50 years. But I think we ignore the models at our peril. And the University of Minnesota Department of Health COVID-19 model is now projecting a potential for 29,000 deaths just in Minnesota over the next 12 months. The range is huge, anywhere from 1,600 to 44,000. Again, keep in mind we're at 638 deaths right now in Minnesota. The models, Jure, only as good as the assumptions. The reason why the projections are going up and they're predicting more deaths is because the initial models were based on estimates that the stay-at-home order would reduce face-to-face contact and disease transmission by 80%. The real number is closer to 60%. So it's not as good as they were hoping. It's still better than nothing. It's still helping. The other thing that jumped out at me today, and this is going to be, I think, a recurring theme over the next few months, how many deaths are attributed to COVID-19 nationwide? The president and members of his coronavirus task force are pushing officials at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, to change how the agency works with states to count the number of deaths related to COVID-19. They're pushing for revisions that could result in far fewer deaths being counted than originally reported, according to five administration officials working on the government's response. Though he has previously publicly attested to the accuracy of the COVID-19 death count, the president in recent weeks has privately raised suspicion about the number of fatalities in the U.S. Deborah Birx, who's always with the president in these press conferences, has urged CDC officials to exclude from coronavirus death count reporting some of the individuals who either do not have confirmed lab results and are presumed positive, or who have the virus and may not have died as a direct result of the virus, according to three senior administration officials. Scientists, doctors working with the task force, including Anthony Fauci, have said the U.S. death toll is likely higher than is being reflected in government data sets. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, Jure. If you have high blood pressure, theoretical, you've got high blood pressure and let's say asthma, and you have a stroke, and you go to the hospital, and you eventually die because of the stroke, the cause of death is going to be a stroke, right? Not the fact that you had high blood pressure
of
asthma.
Of course. This seems crazy to me, Paul. And I wonder if it's true that the worst case scenario of the reason behind this would be completely political. Would be, obviously, we're not idiots, Deborah Birx. We're not idiots, White House. We know that you're trying to keep the number of people who die attributed to COVID down. We know you're trying to do that. But let's have a little transparency, a little fairness. This is so new to everybody. If somebody with high blood pressure then gets COVID and dies, would they have died if they had not gotten COVID? Then they died of COVID. That was the exacerbating factor that led to their death. So I understand these numbers are often malleable. We spoke with Jan Malcolm a few weeks ago, and I talked to her about this. And she explained to us that we don't have hard and firm numbers on the flu. There's just no way to ever know exactly how many people die of one thing because the death certificates are sometimes nebulous. And like you said, if you have a lot of underlying factors, people can just, the doctor can just pick one. Well, it was a stroke, but a stroke due to COVID or a stroke due to, you know, high blood pressure, whatever it was. But the fact that we're even having this debate about, well, you know, if they weren't officially tested, but the doctors assumed, then we're not going to call it that. My God, a little transparency, a lot of honesty. Just stop messing with us. We're all just trying to stay alive and get some data around this.
Well, look, some people see conspiracies lurking under every rock. Correct me if I'm wrong. The cause of death is not being recorded by political operatives at the hospitals, right? The cause of death is being written up by doctors.
That's right.
Who I don't think have any political incentive to sway the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. And you may not like the numbers or the implications of the numbers, mm-hmm. but once we start fudging and spinning the numbers, God help us.
Well, I hope the doctors are at least honest. If a doctor has a patient who he knows has COVID, but also has high blood pressure and may have had a stroke when the man was on a ventilator for COVID, I hope that they would be honest about the cause of death, or at least to the best of their expertise. And if they truly believe that he would have had a stroke without the COVID, then write stroke. We just want the truth. We just want the facts. Let's just be honest so we can get through this with some transparency and hopefully learn from it. We learn from data. We learn from science. Let's stick to that instead of covering up and using semantics to decide what truly is the cause of death. Just let the doctors decide and don't give them guidelines on it. Let them do their jobs.
Agreed. Hey, when we come back, a deep cleansing breath. When I was 18, hopefully bringing back some good memories next.
It's good. I love Bryan Adams. It's Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman by Bryan Adams, the song you're listening to. I love Bryan Adams. Jordana and Paul David at the helm. We're going to play a game. We play When I Was 18 this time on Wednesdays. But you know, when the person I'm about to talk about was 18, it was a long time ago. So long ago, I can't even do the math on it. We want to wish a huge, happy, wonderful, healthy birthday to our friend and everybody's dermatologist, Al Zelickson. Today, Al Zelickson, the husband, his real claim to fame, the husband of our beloved Sue Zelickson. Clearly, that's his claim to fame. And like I said, everybody's dermatologist in Minnesota turns 80 today. So Al, I wish we could be with you having a huge celebration, a huge party. But we're wishing you a big shout out on the radio, and we love you. We want you to stay healthy and well. We're glad you and Sue are sequestered and having some fun, and I'll bring you a challah. And if I have any pickles left in the fridge, I'll bring you those too. Al does like my pickles.
First of all, Hurricane Al married up, right? When he found Sue, that was a good day.
Oh, and amen.
And Jor, I hate to be the one correcting you because usually you're the one correcting me because usually Uh-oh. I'm the one who steps in it. Uh-oh. Al's turning 90.
Yeah. Oh, what did I say?
You said 80. You gave him a
raise.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. It's 90. Oh, no, he's turning 90. Yes.
Well, if you said it, maybe it's true. Maybe it is 80.
No, it's 90.
It's
100% it's 90.
It's 10 years.
And No, Sue likes to mention how she married a much, much, much older man. Because, you know, Sue, she's like 55. I mean, she's a much younger woman.
Scandalous.
So happy birthday, Al. Have an awesome
happy
one.
Happy birthday, Al.
We should
Very
get back to our game.
Happy for you, man.
Okay. Did you remember that song, boys, from Bryan Adams?
No.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was one of his better ones, although I still Cut by a Knife. Wasn't that?
That's
what he's known for, right?
Uh-huh. There are so
like
many. Heaven.
Cuts
There's
like
so
a knife.
Many.
Yeah.
Cuts like a knife. So many.
Anyway. Yeah, I look, the selections this week are not terribly good. When I was putting it lightly, I mean, this is a race to the bottom. When I was 18 back in 1977, here is what was at the top of the charts.
When I need you, just close my eyes and I'm with you. And all
hey,
that
it was good
saw.
To slow dance too. I remember some slow dances to this, but
that's Lori number one?
I can't remember which Lori it was. Might have been two or three. I don't know. Now, let's see. If I was 18, it would have been Lori number one. Yeah.
Yes, when Paul I need has a you penchant by... for women named Lori.
Well, isn't that weird? I know. I'm a freak. What's
Yeah,
new?
That song sucks. That song
yeah.
sucks.
Yeah, I think so. I don't have a prayer this week.
Okay, let's go to mine. I was 18 in 1991. This one.
Wow.
It was like dance music for like, you know, our proms and our high school dances. It's Kathy Dennis, Touch Me, and it's horrible.
All of the music from 1991 seems to be like very sensual.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were thinking or why our parents let us listen to that.
It was long before the Me Too movement, right? I don't think it would fly right now. Yeah.
What were we doing? What were we, just all that pseudo disco? It was dance music, right? We just, I don't know. All right, David, what was your year?
Well, in 2005, this was top in the charts. Yeah, this song, as I listened to the intro of it earlier today, I thought, oh, maybe this will pick up at some point. It doesn't. It's just this. It's just this over and over with different lyrics that are semi-intelligible. And if it got to the real part of the song, I might be on board, but it just does this forever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that any song that names Shawty in it is never going to win this contest. So I think Ciara and Ludacris.
Yep.
I think you're out this week. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Remy is here to be our judge again this week. But, do you guys even have a guess for who he's going to pick?
I like Bryan Adams. If I had to pick, it would be Bryan Adams.
Okay.
Me too.
I really have no idea. And to be honest, I didn't listen to this. But Remy will join us now and we'll see what he says.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood degenerate Remy Maxwell, afternoon weenie, as heard on 104.1, Jack FM down the hall from WCCO, weighing in on musical tastes once again with When I Was 18. Okay, When I Need You by Leo Sayer, Paul's pick for the week. I was always strangely intrigued by Leo. I mean, his falsetto, his weird hairdo, and this is coming from a guy who's got a hairdo like this. I mean, it kind of had a mind of its own. His easy listening prowess. I mean, this song could almost be categorized as yacht rock, especially with that sweet sax solo midway through, so I'm digging this one. David picked Oh by Ciara with a guest appearance from Ludacris, a.k.a. Chris Bridges, out of the ATL, Hotlanta. You know, I love this dude's style and rap voice, specifically on his song I Wanna Lick You From Your Head to Your Toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor, and I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta, well, what's your fantasy? Unfortunately, this isn't that song. song, but Ludacris does save Ciara on this track from monotony. All right, Jordana Green picked Touch Me All Night Long, in parentheses, from Kathy Dennis. I think I remember hearing this song at a party once, way back when, a party that I soon parted. I can appreciate it for what it is, however, but I'd take Touch Me from the Doors. Come on, come on, come on, not Touch Me, Babe, and All Night Long from Lionel Richie instead. So in closing, I got to award the prize to Paul once again for his Leo Sayer song. I do realize that I've anointed Paul the winner 2 weeks in a row, so I'm sorry, Jordana and David, but what do I know? I'm just a guy who makes stuff up on the radio, but thanks for having me anyway.
When I need
I am not worthy. I do not deserve to win this week. And Remy, another crisp $1 bill is in the mail to you. Thank you.
I think Remy deserves to win for that ludicrous rap he just belted
out. God.
I am super impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the whole licking me from head to toe, like, again, inappropriate, but it is ludicrous.
Yeah.
So we're willing to accept that. But good job, Remy. Kudos to Remy. It's fun to have him as the judge.
Whatever he's on, I want me some of that. I think it's caffeine,
absolutely.
But there's nobody quite like Remy Maxwell. He's in a different orbit, and we're always thrilled when he comes on our show, Jor.
When we get back, the return of COVID around the country. We're going to be joined by maybe a familiar voice to you, Steve Cochran from Chicago. He is going to be joining us to tell us what life is like COVID-wise in Chicago. Next.
Your smile, but you know
you're going to like our breathing exercise today. This is a breathing exercise that patients recovering from COVID-19 are doing. But it doesn't mean you can't do it. It is a breathing exercise that is supposed to expand a person's lungs so that if there's any mucus in there, it can be dislodged and then coughed out. It's particularly good for COVID patients that are recovering, but you can do it too. Chris Cuomo is tweeting about this. J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter author, also suffering. She was tweeting about this. So here's how it works. You take a deep breath in, and at the top, you hold your breath for 5 seconds and then release. Deep breath in. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then release. You do this 5 times. And at the end of the 6th breath, you cough very strongly. Of course, into your shoulder and not around other people. You cover your mouth, of course, when you do this. Now, the 6 breaths plus the cough at the end represent 1 cycle. And doctors say this works because it dislodges any mucus that is in the lower part of your lungs. The initial deep breathings open the airways up, and the cough at the end loosens the mucus from those deep breaths. So just once again, you breathe in, you hold for 5 seconds, and then you release. You do that 5 times, you breathe in the 6th, and do a big cough at the end to dislodge any mucus. Yes, recovering COVID patients can do it, but you can also do it because it's just a good breathing exercise. Anytime you sit and breathe 5 times, it will help your life. So good luck.
And it's free. That's the
it's
best
free.
Part of it. It's free. Nobody's going to ding you for doing that. Thank you, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. You
appreciate
it,
that. We have a segment here on CCO. We call this COVID around the country. You know, look, we're all in our bubbles and we know what's happening locally. We think we know. What's happening in other cities, other parts of the country? Wanted to dial up my dear friend who lives in Chicago. Actually, he's in Naperville, and you certainly remember this guy. He was on KDWB for the longest time. One of the funniest guys, one of the most thoughtful guys I know, Steve Cochran. Hey, Steve.
Hi, kids. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
You paid me extra for that intro, but I do miss you, man, and it's always good hearing your voice. Are you doing okay?
Doing fine, actually, and I miss the cities. You know, I still may come back. You never know when my comeback tour might start. But this, what I just heard Jordana do, this is exactly how you know the world has changed. If I had said mucus on the air 5 or 6 times, I would have been in a program director's meeting and I would have been in trouble. Now it's a health tip.
That's right. It's not a bug. It's a feature. How
right.
are things going? I know you're in the suburbs. What's your reaction? What, if anything, has made you do a double take or a triple take the last month or two?
You know what I don't understand is, and I'm sure you have it there, but I'm driving by people in cars wearing masks and they're alone in their cars. So are these the bandits? Are these the people who are actually going to rob the bank? Are they excessively safe and they think they're carrying? I don't know. If you're alone in the car, I don't think you have to wear the mask, do you?
I think they just forget to take it off. They're probably just used
to
wearing it.
I'll go with that explanation, too. The idea that the mask isn't to protect them, it's to protect others. So when they get out of the vehicle, they don't have to keep putting it on and off. So we'll give them a pass.
Okay. If you say so, man, I'm with you. I am absolutely with you. But, yeah, other than that, look, I drive into the city and park because you can't do that in Chicago. And now there's plenty of spaces. And then I drive back. I get on FaceTime. I call some random numbers. I meet some new friends. I'm teaching napping on YouTube. I got a lot going on. It's not like I'm not busy.
It's an art form. Have there been any uniquely Chicago solutions? Anything that could only happen in Chicago that you've noticed over the last few weeks?
Well, you know, we have a new mayor, Lori Lightfoot, who's about 3.5 feet tall, and don't mess with her. And the lakefront, everybody who's come to Chicago knows about the lakefront, and the Riverwalk, mm-hmm. which is new, are beautiful. And people just couldn't resist it. And she closed the lakefront. She warned us, and then she closed it. She essentially grounded us, and we can't take the car. So that, I don't know if that's uniquely Chicago, but this new mayor, she's keeping an eye on the rest of us. I can tell you that right now. Other than that, though, I think people, and I'm sure it's the same there, I think people have behaved remarkably well, walking in the neighborhoods and things of that nature. I don't see any big problems. The only thing that might be a little more Chicago is absolutely true. I'm in line at Home Depot. There's two guys in front of me, and they're arguing about whether or not there's enough social distance between them. And I thought they were buddies at first, but it turns out they were mad at each other. And the second guy says, "You know how I know I'm 6 feet from you?" And he pulled a tape measure out of his cart. And he said, "Take the end of this." And they measured the distance, and then they had a laugh. But it could have been a fist fight.
That's
but
great.
It got settled.
Wow. So, Steve, what are folks in Chicago doing to stay sane that might be different than us? You know, we love our lakes here. I know you got a big one over there. So what are they doing to stay sane or different or any kind of activities that you're seeing people out and about?
But just, you know, I don't know that it's different than anywhere else again, but I'm telling you, have you ever seen more people going for walks? I know everybody's talking about putting on the quarantine 10. And sure, you're inside, maybe you're eating more and stuff, but people are walking every day. They're outside every single day. Now, I don't know if it's going to continue, but I'm kind of hopeful for a more helpful thing going on. But other than that, we can't do much because Illinois, I think, is even more shut down than most states. It's certainly appropriate in the city, maybe not so much so in the burbs. But yeah, there's not a lot going on here that you haven't seen.
I noticed your governor, Governor Pritzker, basically shaming the Major League Baseball players for not jumping and accepting, you know, the offer from the owners, claiming it's all about pay and come on, take one for the team. America needs you. We need baseball. Any reaction to that?
I'll give you a reaction. Because I'm a golfer, as you know, and you are as well. And the golf restrictions are frankly, just silly. The idea that you can't socially distance on a golf course. Look, none of us are in the fairway. We're usually 60 yards apart, not 6 feet apart.
That's true. That's true.
And Governor Pritzker, who I think has done a pretty good job overall, but he should never comment on sports, ever, 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 until he takes about 500 neighborhood walks. Stay out of the sports thing. You're not going to be able to shame professional athletes into doing anything, and let us go golfing without the restrictions, and I think we'll be happy.
Free the golfers. I think you'll be the leader of that movement.
Free the golfers! You know, what's funny is we're walking only, and I think a lot of states are doing that, and, you know, I'm old now. My knees are shot, completely shot. So I walk 18 holes, and I think I'm a Kenyan marathoner. I'm waiting for kids to come out, hand me cups of water. You can make it, Mr. Cochran! You can make it!
Steve, Steve, it was great to hear your voice. Please say hi to our friend John Williams up in Chicago, and stay safe and stay healthy, our friend.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, can I get a cheap plug-in? Facebook every morning, a little mini podcast. Give it a listen if you're interested.
There you go.
Awesome. Steve Cochran,
Thanks, Steve.
The one and only. We'll be in touch. And we'll be in touch with Sloan Martin to bring us up to date with what happened at the press conference this afternoon. The latest information, of course, the governor addressing the state at 6 o'clock this evening. There was a presser at 2. We'll talk about what came out of that press conference next.
We're going to find out if we can go anywhere later today. The governor is having a press conference at 6 o'clock tonight with some news that even my children are waiting on edge to hear. But there was a coronavirus task force. Our health department had a meeting today, not at 2 o'clock, but at 11 o'clock this morning. Our own Sloan Martin was listening in here with the highlights. Sloan, welcome back.
Hey, Jordana. The focus of today ahead of the governor's announcement, which we are pretty sure is going to be about what happens to the future of the stay-at-home order after May 18th when it is set to expire. But today was the nuts and bolts of the mathematical data model 3.0. And this is really what gets deep into the numbers. And according to the Minnesota Department of Health, it really is just that one useful tool. It is a useful tool, but it is one tool. And it shows a wide range of certainty, but I wanted to tell you about just the main takeaways from this. We're looking at compared to version 2.0, which was a month ago, compared to this most recent one today, 3.0. We are looking at more total deaths over this 12-month period of the pandemic, from 21,800 to 29,030. And a reason for that is because they say mitigation has been less effective than they assumed. The physical distancing has reduced contacts, not 50%, but 38%. The stay-at-home order reducing it 60% instead of 80%. But I think a lot of people are interested in, because it's going to affect what we're going to hear tonight, is the difference between May 18th and May 31st. If we extend that stay-at-home order to the end of the month, or we decide to lift it today. So if it's going to be lifted along with a soft reopening for 3 weeks, we're looking at a June 29th peak, 1,400 deaths by the end of May, and then again that 29,030 for 12 months. That's a range of 16,000 to 44,000. Then going to the end of the month, pushing that peak out a little further to July 6th, 1,300 deaths compared to that 1,400, and then about 800 more deaths over the 12-month span of this pandemic. So 800 deaths over the total 53 just for this month. Don't mean to throw a ton of numbers at you, but it's interesting to look at. There's not a ton of differences between those two dates just yet.
Sloan, you know, any model is only as good as the assumptions and the data that go into the model. So, and I'm sure, as you said, the governor is looking at other things other than the models, and hopefully the models get better over time. One thing that really jumped out at me, the first stay-at-home order from the governor in March exempted 78% of jobs. 78% of jobs were deemed essential. By last week, that number now is up to 91% of workers can basically remain on their jobs. So, at what point does this even become a thing? I mean, a stay at home, but 91% of jobs are exempted. So the state really is open now, isn't it?
You know, it's just going to depend on who you're talking to. There are people who, you know, maybe have resorts up in greater Minnesota. There are particular industries, particular facets of our economy that are obviously going to be hit much harder. But you sounded just like a data scientist there, Paul. That was something they talked about repeatedly, about this wide range of certainty, that this is no crystal ball by any means. But it is interesting that you think about that. And it's not to, you know, make light of the challenges that people have had, because this has been an extremely challenging time. But we are getting to the point where more and more is going to be opening up. And how do we have a plan to do that safely? And I think people are mostly waiting for that hospitality industry, where whether it's, you know, gyms or restaurants, bars, things like that. We don't have any indication right now what Walz is going to be saying tonight, what direction he's going to go, and what may lift next. next. But it is something that certainly the Walz administration has pointed out, how many people are in these critical industries and the percentage of the workforce that is, in fact, able to work at this time.
And really, our hearts go out to them. You know, we have people that call the show every day, and we hear their suffering. We hear their pain. We know that whatever the PPP they got was isn't enough for them or their employees. Or, you know, they're a hairdresser, and they just want to be with their clients, and they can't. So we know there is real suffering out there, and it's just...
Of course.
You know, this. Then the announcement tonight may be met with a lot of resistance, but to Paul's point... You know, if it's true that really 91% of people can in some way be back at their jobs, maybe once people start realizing that, hopefully that will ease some of their pain, because I don't have the answers.
And a lot of it is, and Governor Walz has talked about this so much, is that, of course, we're looking at the deaths, and it feels even strange to be like, well, it's only 800 more people that could die if we lift it right now. Gosh. And that feels absolutely terrible to have to say, but these are the decisions that are having to be made. But he has continued to talk about balancing our quality of life and our well-being along with managing what a situation we don't see an end in sight in the near future.
Sloan Martin in the newsroom. Thank you for the update, ma'am.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.